Tonight, we're going to listen to a most interesting panel, the members of which are all lay Christian leaders from different parts of the world. And the moderator of this panel is Dr. Ted Ward, professor of education at Michigan State University in the United States. Dr. Ward is a frequent speaker to Christian gatherings and has been an international consultant to many Christian organizations. He is the editor of the Reaching All Fellowship follow-up booklet and cassette series. Now, Dr. Ward is going to introduce to us the members of his panel. Dr. Ward.
Thank you, Pastor Tang. This panel of laymen will deal with a problem, an area, the problem or area of involvement of the laymen in evangelization. And I think the very fact of our panel and its point on the program illustrates something of the problem. Because we have made a distinction, and historically, there is something to be said about the layman having a separate and special sort of role, partly because we have let it become that. I'm going to introduce the four men who are making the presentations. They will make brief presentations in cycle. I will introduce them one at a time as they make their presentations. And after we have heard briefly from each of the four, we will then have an opportunity for discussion among ourselves. Dr. Luis Santiago Botero will make the first presentation, drawn from the paper that he has prepared for the Congress. He is a forestry engineer involved in the Food and Agricultural Organization, a division of the United Nations. He is from Colombia and is now working in Chile. He is involved particularly in IFES activity, ministering to collegiate and professional persons within Chile. Santiago?
Since I was touched by the gospel in the university 15 years ago, I have been disturbed by several features of the contemporary church that it seems to me do not adjust to the instrument proposed by God to take the light to the world. I wanted from the beginning to be just a plain Christian. Denominational differences have been for me, as they are for many who seek the gospel, a burden. The lack of unity between brethren belonging to different organizations and their insistence in emphasizing whatever separates them has always disturbed me very much. You cannot find in the body of Christ the unity required so that the world may believe. One of the most relevant distortions that I find in the contemporary church is institutionalization, understood as the organic conformation of the church to a business enterprise or a social club. To this, you must add the professionalization of the ministry, once clergy and laymen are distinguished, with the consequent dependence of the members of the congregation with respect to the ministers in order to function as a church. The communication of the gospel has thus become the task of specialists, with the risk that it may no longer be the normal task and the privilege of every believer. On the other hand, isolation of the redeemed in church buildings does not allow them to effectively be the salt of the earth. The buildings for the assembly of the faithful have thus become a substitute of the very notion of church. Within such a frame, the Holy Ghost finds very little freedom to move. The word of life does not reach them to whom it is addressed, and the life of fellowship between the brethren is very limited. We do not see nowadays many Christian communities of which we can say they persevere unanimous every day in fellowship, as in the example of Acts 2:43-46. Communities where the fellowship in Jesus Christ reflects itself in interfamily relations, in mutual help, in secular work, in service, and in all realms that give practical expression of our faith. I find another hindrance to the extension of the kingdom of God in the marginalization of the church from contemporary world, caused by institutionalization, by the absurd dichotomy between the material and the spiritual, by a wrong interpretation of what separation from the world means, which we have adopted as an excuse not to give a permanent witness in our work, in our social and family relations, in our responsibilities as citizens, in the arts and in sport. This otherworldly position, qualified by a conservative ethic that we stress too much in our message, has made us lose the contact with reality. We do not go to the world to seek those for whom Jesus died, expecting that somehow they will become interested in attending to our evangelization meetings. Our message sounds very strange in their ears, or it has no response at all because the message is not relevant to his problem. The proclamation of the gospel fails in being an existential witness. We do not take advantage of our situation in the world where the Lord has inserted us to be his witnesses. We are then no longer sensitive to the opportunities of infiltrating in all sectors of contemporary society as a living testimony, giving freedom to the Holy Spirit so that our mouth brings forth the abundance that should overflow our hearts. I am quite worried about the emphasis given to evangelistic methods by the contemporary church that this Congress reflects. It seems as if we would insist in refining the model given by God for the extension of his kingdom with means that do not produce the same impact nor the same result as the simple existential proclamation through personal and collective witnessing of those that recognize that Jesus is Lord. I believe that technological innovation, efficient organization, the psychology of communication, and other contemporary ingredients have a lot to contribute to a wider and more effective spreading of the gospel. However, I believe that those are accessory means that eventually may reinforce or complement, but in no case should be a substitute of the methods of the Holy Spirit, spreading his gifts through men and women transformed by his power in the context of daily life and operating in multiple ways in the church, the life of fellowship being the evidence offered by Jesus when he said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." We need nowadays to depend more on God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. The main motivation for our effort in evangelization must be the compassion for those for whom Christ died, not the satisfaction in statistics or in spectacular and multitudinal meetings. If we are not able to make disciples through our witnessing, to integrate them to fellowship of our communities, and to support them so that they will be witnesses there where the Lord wants them, we will not be collecting the harvest, but spreading it away. But thank God that in spite of our imperfections, the people of God are growing. While traditional churches burdened by institutionalization are mainly concerned with their doctrinal or methodological differences, while they are building impressive temples and they are preparing literature mostly for internal consumption, the Holy Spirit is moving powerfully among the youth, among the marginal groups of society, whether the traditional churches and even in Bible-centered groups of Catholics, renewing the body of Christ and extending the message of God spontaneously to the thousands that were not attracted by our meetings.
Thank you, Santiago. We hear from many continents the same sort of statements and the same sorts of concerns. It's as if in this day laymen are taking the particular role and responsibility of challenging the very language we use within the church. I'm reminded as I listen to Santiago of the things that distinguish us, the distinction clergy-laity, the distinction full-time Christian service, the distinction Christian service versus secular service. It seems to me that the Lordship of Christ rules out these sorts of distinctions if we take it very, very seriously. And it's this sort of distinction that is of great concern to laymen in many places. The creative laymen of Africa, for example, as represented tonight in Sam Odenike, are recognizing the validity and the value of laymen in outward mission of the church, even as missionaries. Sam Odenike is personnel manager for the British Petroleum Nigeria Limited. He is active in Nigeria Evangelical Fellowship, and he will particularly focus our attention on the unique opportunities that are open to laymen.
Thank you, Ted. When I received a cable from Paul Little back in Nigeria to take a look at world evangelization as a layman, I must confess that my immediate concern was looking at the problem from the standpoint of Nigeria. I saw Nigeria in some way, I saw Africa. But since coming to Lausanne, my vision has been expanded in some way to look even beyond the shores of Africa to other parts of the world. Listening to both Ralph Winter and Don McGovern, who very vividly presented the need in the task for completing the work of world evangelization, that the priority need today is for E3 evangelism, which I have been told means evangelizing across culture. Listening to this very vivid presentation, that 83% of the uncompleted task of world evangelization today lies in this area, my first reaction is to see myself as a layman cancelled out completely in assisting towards meeting this need. Because as a layman, I don't see myself readily relinquishing my job to cross culture into another country or continent so that people there can hear the gospel. But again, some other aspect of me welled up inside me, that laymen want involvement. And if you would cancel out laymen from 83% of the task that remains to be done, even though I have no statistics to support this, I don't know if Ralph Winter has done some work on this to find out the percentage of laymen to clergy in the church. That would be a very interesting statistics. But if you take a look at that and you cancel out the bulk of the Church of Jesus Christ from an involvement in 83% of the task, I wonder what we have left. And this leads me to some very, very quick thinking. And I find, on further thought, that whereas laymen can be limited in participating in this task, they are not completely eliminated. And I see the involvement of laymen, even as E3 missionaries, in three areas. Number one, the migration of ordinary people across cultures for social, economic, and sometimes political reasons opens the door to laymen on the receiving end to reach some of these otherwise unreached peoples. Number two, I recall that a couple of years ago, the late President John F. Kennedy of the United States sent out some missionaries across the world described as Peace Corps, and they performed useful work in the educational, social, economic fields. And I can see laymen receiving the call of God to deliberately seek openings of work employment across cultures, across their own original cultures, for the specific purpose of using their God-given opportunity in that situation to reach others for Christ. And thirdly, I see laymen as being instrumental through the formation and or strengthening of missionary societies and fellowships that will, under God, implement the call, "How shall they go unless they be sent?" This is why I must, at this point, as president of the Association of Evangelicals of Africa and Madagascar, raise the voice of at least 10 million evangelicals in Africa who completely reject the call for a moratorium on the sending of missionaries to Africa for any length of time. I am not a theologian, but I doubt if it takes one to recall that Jesus himself expected men to be more receptive to non-neighbor evangelists. Said the Messiah, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and among his own kindred." And quite frankly, I am appalled at this call for a moratorium on the sending of E3 missionaries to Africa, when at the same time Africa gladly receives and even actively solicits technical, educational, and economic aid from both Eastern and Western countries in the name of technical cooperation. And I wonder, I seriously wonder, if in this question of taking the gospel to a dying soul, we need subject that soul to a committee meeting of deciding who will take the plunge into the river, of restricting even those who feel the compulsion of the Holy Spirit to reach down a helping hand and rescue the perishing. I hope that God would grant laymen through Lausanne the vision to be involved even as E3 missionaries.
Having heard now from South America and Africa, we turn to the third continent in question, North America. Ford Madison, the third of our panelists, is a businessman in the state of Kansas in the United States, particularly involved in real estate. And as a businessman and active in his local church situation, he has also developed a role and found gifts of the Spirit for the church in layman training activities. I think Ford is going to pose for us the key question, and that is, are laymen really wanted? Ford Madison.
Let me ask you, who are Christian leaders, what do you want from us? What do you want from common, ordinary believers? Does the layman fit anywhere in your planning for world evangelism? Much of what I've heard and read here at this Congress has emphasized systems and materials and methods and the sending of thousands of conventional missionaries. But what about the millions of ordinary Christians? God's Word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And in verse 18, the same any man in Christ has been given the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, he's given us the word of reconciliation. And in verse 20, now we are ambassadors for Christ. But what do you want from us? In the last 5 months, I've asked many, many laymen and several pastors, what is a good layman? What do you think most religious leaders really want? The consensus was just four things. They want our attendance at all meetings. Secondly, they want our money. Thirdly, our support of their programs. And then finally, do not try to change anything. I would ask, is that all that you really want? You just want my attendance and my money? Laymen want to be involved in what is significant. And I believe the church's real program should start when the building is closed and empty. Jesus said, I don't pray that the Father take you out of the world, that he be with you in the world. The world is between Sundays. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's where the work of the ministry is. That's where the people are. The most meaningful, exciting thing in living is to be involved with God in the life-changing enterprise. He's calling out a people, and he's building us up together. E.M. Bounds has said, we are constantly looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men. Men are God's method. Why say, lo here or lo there, this system or that method? For behold, the power to evangelize the world is within us. Waldron Scott, who prepared the audiovisual presentation, the task before us, helped me with these numbers to show the power of the laity. If each nominal Christian in the world, and there are about 1 billion, were motivated and trained to win only one person to Christ in a year, and would train that person to repeat the process, the world could be reached in less time than it took to prepare for this Congress. Less than 2 years. Now, if only 10% of the professing Christians would be faithfully winning and training, it would take only 5.5 years mathematically. Of course, everyone won't win someone. But let's not close our minds and our hearts to the tremendous potential of ordinary Christians winning and training. As Paul wrote to Timothy, and the things thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. If each of us in this room, without the outside help from anyone else, assuming there are about 3,000 of us here, in addition to our regular work and duties, would win and train just one person yearly, and then they'd do the same thing, repeating the process yearly, we could evangelize our world well before the end of this century. I can't win thousands, but I can win and train one a year, just like the man won and trained me. I can't swallow a whole elephant, but I can eat even an elephant one bite at a time. And remember, there are thousands of laymen just like me. What do you want from us? Well, I can tell you what I want from you. I want to be involved in what really counts. I want you to show us how to study the Bible, how to pray, how to discern and use our spiritual gifts, how to witness, how to have Christ formed in us. We need you. We are one with you. I plead with you to include us. I plead with you to train us, really train us. I plead with you to help us make our lives significant by doing the thing that's really on God's heart, all of us helping to complete the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Ford. I think your illustrations deal with a word that in the English language has come to be a two-edged word, the word used. I think that as Christian laymen, we want to be used by our Lord Jesus Christ. but we don't want to be used by other people. And I think there are times when, in the past, laymen have been used to ratify decisions already made, used to pay bills already committed. When will we be offered the opportunity to be used by our Lord in considering, contemplating, praying, designing, planning, and carrying forward as full citizens alongside our brothers who are called to pastoral ministries? And at this point, I would like to enter one other word, and that is that the five of us have one thing in common. In addition to the fact that we love our Lord, we are all men. And when we talk about the problems of the layman in the church and the tendency that the layman has of being overlooked, I cannot help but think of the women of the church, whose roles are sometimes limited to simplistic and silly activities. And in many cases, it's not their fault. Our next speaker represents still a fourth continent. Asia is represented by Colonel John Huai, who is the head of police telecommunications for Indonesia. His office is in Jakarta, and he happens also at the present time to be vice president of Gideon's International. And he will summarize something of the global concern that we represent here as a panel tonight. John?
The 20th century is the layman century. Church leaders and ministers around the world are in agreement that the mission of the church is to evangelize and propagate the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To ensure that the church will not die but flourish, evangelism done by laymen is fast becoming a part of the regular church program. To carry on an active, effective program of evangelism, the church must have the full support of its laity. Every believer can and should be a witness. In effect, they are, whether good or bad, for the scriptures point out very clearly that we are epistles of Christ, known and read of all men. More than that, we are in the world the holy priests and ambassadors of our Heavenly Father to witness and to glorify Him. The layman in this 20th century is a potential witness. He need not be a super salesman or a superhuman being to be used of God. In fact, God has called the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the weak things to confound the mighty. We need but to turn our life and our personality over to God, and we can say like Paul, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." There is no excuse for not serving God daily as a witness. Not that we should leave our business to serve Christ, but make it our business to serve Christ in and through our business. In order to do that, first of all, we must have, first, a personal assurance of sins forgiven, of life eternal, of positive relationships. Second, awareness of responsibility to glorify God, to be a witness and have fellowship one with another, to read and obey God's word, to spend time in prayer, to be God's will and the Holy Spirit. Third, the discipline of devotions. Through daily devotions, we get the knowledge of the Bible and keep us close to the Lord to maintain a victorious, spiritual, dynamic Christian life. We have already pointed out that the mission of the church is to evangelize and propagate the faith. Every believer then, as a member of the body of Christ, becomes responsible to be your witness. Let's briefly find out and answer the following question. Who should witness? To consider reverend, pastor, and bishop as the only group specially called to serve the Lord is irrelevant to God's standpoint. Ye shall be my witness or ambassador means everyone, every believer, every born-again person. It can be a doctor or a lawyer, a teacher, clerk, or a policeman like me. We have only to be the Great Commission as a good Christian soldier. We thank God that since the beginning of the 20th century, there are many spiritual fighters without using any church title, witness the great salvation and proclaim the word of God. When shall we witness? There is no set time of day, week, or month. Yearly, century Christians were busy daily. Our life is a witness and will be until we die. Maybe you are very busy with our business, earning money, and have no time at all to witness for Christ. But the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Businessmen might well learn the art of making a living, but not many of them have learned how to live. Where shall we witness? Acts 8 verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Our Jerusalem is the office, shop, school, neighborhood. Each of us as laymen have our sphere of influence. We are called to be the faces of men, and the bonds are everywhere. What shall we witness? We don't need to be a good speaker, but we can give facts and personal testimony. Who you are before you met Christ and accepted him as your personal savior. We can give facts of or testify what happened during the conversion and then what Christ has done for you. Once you are blind, name is spiritual blindness, walking in the darkness and going to hell. But once you accepted Christ Jesus as your personal savior, by faith as a grace, your soul awakened, your mind enlightened, and your will converted, the result is your conscience is purified and your affections renewed. How shall we witness? We work not by our own, but we are workers together with God. God provides the Holy Spirit for witness and the power and the guide to witness. God provides his word for faith and practice, and God promised to bless it. We must faithfully sow the seed, his word. Our part is to be willing to witness by our life, and our life should be attractive for the Savior. Before I close my presentation, let me ask you, what is your occupation? A doctor? A merchant? Don't run away from this calling. Who you are and what you are, God will use you as a tool in his hand to proclaim the gospel, to bear witness in your position in the community.
Thank you, John. We're reminded that the most distinctive aspect of being a Christian is not in doing different things, but in being different. And as laymen involved with evangelization, it is what we are, I think you remind us, that is perhaps the most distinctive and the place where we begin looking at what our Lord would do through us. At this point, we had agreed that we would open the panel for questions and comments on each other's papers. I'm wondering at this point then if I might sit back and invite my colleagues to share and to comment and perhaps even to ask one another questions as they see fit.
I'd like to just make one brief comment on Santiago's point on the oneness of believers, that we're all together. I think this is a tremendous need in the body, is that we close the gap between clergy and laity, that we be together in answer to Jesus' prayer. Because Jesus said, by this they'll know that the Father has sent me, that we're one. And by this oneness, Santiago, I think that was so important what you were saying, that then the world will know the love of God, the love of Christ.